This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by The Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale.
And I'm Jim Ryan, and together we take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. And today, Jamie, we are getting out of rainy Western Oregon, heading over the Cascades Passes and dropping into the beautiful and sunny desert of Central Oregon.
Jim, don't get me wrong here. I love this time of year in Western Oregon. My heart is green and gray. The rainy season has firmly set in, and this time of year, I usually like to hunker down for the holidays, do a little rainy day hiking, really sort of settle in for the winter. But fall is also one of my favorite seasons to head over to Central Oregon and Eastern Oregon in search of just a little something different, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, to kind of harken back to what I was saying just a little bit earlier here, I mean, the drive, you know, picture for us coming from Portland here, you know, you're driving up over Mount Hood. It's rainy or snowy or misty, foggy, whatever, you know, kind of that moody fall weather. You drop down, you know, the eastern slope headed toward Warm Springs in Central Oregon, and just, you know, slowly you get some sun breaks, and then it's, you know, partly cloudy, and then kind of the flip of a switch, beautiful, sunny Central Oregon. It seems, Jamie, without fail. I just love that feeling. I mean, it feels like a literal escape. You're not, you know, going too far, driving a few hours, and getting a completely different weather system, some maybe a little bit warmer temps, and you know, some crisp, clear, beautiful fall skies.
Yeah, Jim, and of course, under those beautiful fall skies, there are so many cool things to go do, check out in Central Oregon. One of the most popular, of course, is one of your favorite spots, Smith Rock State Park.
Yeah. So, Jamie, we have never actually dedicated an entire show to talking about Smith Rock. And
ridiculous.
I mean, we've been doing this now. We're about 100 episodes in, give or take. We need to nail that down, Jamie.
I think we're over 100 episodes.
Are we over 100 episodes?
I feel like we probably passed it and then just didn't recognize it. And
man, we have like one milestone to look forward to here on the show, and we just blow straight past it. Who knows? I guess we don't need to be all self-important and do any kind of memorializing our contributions to the podcasting world, as meager as they may be. But we've never talked about Smith in a dedicated episode. So we're breaking that trend today, 100 and however many episodes we are in. Jamie, this fall season is my favorite time to head down to Smith, this in the springtime, where, you know, the temperatures are a little bit cooler. You get, you know, hopefully some clear days, some sunny skies. You have those crisp mornings and nights, you know, shorter days than maybe you would like. But you're treated to that gorgeous, gorgeous sunset at Smith Rock, humongous silhouettes of the rocks out in front of you. It is a primo place to be, and it is very solidly Smith Rock season at the moment.
Yeah, and you know, Smith Rock is known, of course, as like a rock climber's paradise. And Jim, you know all about that. It's also a good spot to go hiking or just to do sort of smaller walks down by the river, a spot you can do some fishing, see some wildlife, get some really awesome views, and see some really cool rock formations. It's really, you know, it was named one of the seven wonders of Oregon backed by Travel Oregon when they did that campaign for very good reason.
Yep.
It's a really phenomenally beautiful spot, however you choose to visit it.
However you choose to visit it. And I would say most folks, Jamie, right? There are a lot of climbers on the walls, of course, and a lot of folks maybe just, pulling off to catch a view of the park kind of from the parking area. But I would say most folks, it's safe to venture, are going to Smith Rock to go hike. Mm-hmm. So let's start there and start with, Jamie, a trail that is either aptly named or not, maybe depending on your fitness level, your aptitude for such things. But we were talking before we started recording here about the Misery Ridge Trail, which, Jamie, I think you called the signature hiking experience at Smith Rock, and I would tend to agree.
Yeah, there's a number of hiking trails at Smith Rock, but the Misery Ridge Loop, I think, is the way to go if you want to see a good slice of the park. So it's only about 4 miles long to do the whole loop. There are some really steep sections in the beginning as you're climbing up onto that sort of rock formation. So I think that's kind of where the name comes from, right? Misery Ridge. What a name. Very dramatic. I found it to be moderately difficult. So for folks who don't have a lot of hiking experience, it may be, a real difficult climb. Those who are regular hikers might find it challenging, but definitely doable. But once you get up to the top, you get just these fabulous views. And one of those views you get is of the famous Monkey Face Rock. Just as it sounds, a big rock that kind of looks like a monkey's face. I don't know, Jim, do you see that?
If you look at it right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There's definitely some monkey face look to it. You might have to, bop around, get a couple different vantage points to really see it. It is a big rock. It is not like something someone has carved to make it look like a certain thing. But I think it's an apt description, Jamie.
Yeah. The light hits it a certain way. It's great. I mean, that's, I think, kind of one of the iconic views you have at Smith Rock. And the trail kind of goes back down the other side of the rock from there and then kind of runs alongside the Crooked River there. And you get this really, really nice riverside walk on the other side of the park and loops back around to the start. It's a really, really nice way to see the various different parts of Smith Rock.
Yeah. And, for those unacquainted with the park itself, right, you roll up to a parking area that does get quite busy. As Jamie said, Smith Rock is a very popular destination. It's a popular destination basically all the time, though, you had weekdays, winter time, most likely is going to be less busy than peak season. But, you roll up there, you're kind of up on, I don't know, Jamie, it's not quite a ridge, but you are up above the Smith Rock proper, if you will, kind of the main hiking areas, climbing areas, so on and so forth. And you go down a fairly steep trail to reach kind of this little grassy, for lack of a better way of putting it, meadow, though a meadow isn't truly what it is, but a grassy area where there's a restroom there and a bridge that crosses the Crooked River. And as you cross that bridge, you have just in front of you soaring rock formations, right? Absolutely beautiful, volcanic tuff, as it's called, is the kind of rock, and perhaps some others as well. But, soaring up above you, you hang right and basically start switchbacking your way up. Pretty darn steep trail that, I don't know about you, but gets me breathing heavy by the time I reach the top of Misery Ridge there. And then, you essentially gain the top of Smith Rock proper, I suppose. I don't know exactly what the main formation is called, but you gain the top of this, area where you can walk around, take some photos, and get just humongous views out to, if you have a clear day, the sisters, the surrounding mountains, and just a gorgeous landscape stretching about as far as you can see.
Yeah, it really, really is a phenomenal spot. And, for those folks who may think, maybe hiking is not something you are able to do or want to do or have time to do, like Jim said, the views from the parking lot itself are excellent. And there's some just really nice little viewpoints that you can walk to just after from the parking lot if you want to be there just for a few minutes or have, a little picnic lunch or a pit stop or something like that from the road. You don't have to be adventurous to get these really phenomenal views at Smith Rock. And, you know, one thing just to mention is we're talking about the parking. This is one of the few Oregon state parks where you do have to pay a fee to park. So it's a $5 fee, or unless you have one of the Oregon State Park annual passes, which highly recommend if you're doing some state park action. That is a great way to do that too. But just be warned, that is something you're going to have to figure out before you get there.
Yep. And there are pay kiosks around, and they make it super easy for you to be in compliance with that. So Jamie, you have hiking, of course. Misery Ridge is the premier attraction hiking wise. But really, I mean, you can set off to your heart's content meandering about the park, pick up a map or consult a map, you know, link the different trails there as you may. There are some nice kind of meandering, options along the river. You can of course loop the Misery Ridge Trail, or whatever the proper noun name of that trail is, to go back alongside the Crooked River, as Jamie mentioned, back toward your car, get another view of Monkey Face on the way out, and watch some climbers as they work their way up the rocks. A pretty fantastic place to go out and hike, to get a little run in. And it's enjoyable in the sense of you can really pick your own adventure, distance and difficulty wise, at Smith Rock. I would be remiss not to mention, though, also, Jamie, the option to do a little biking at Smith. I know that's not your A number one activity, but you are, as a hiker, not on Misery Ridge, but you are sharing kind of the main path around Smith Rock with folks on bikes who are out there. You know, I've seen folks with some regularity out enjoying the paths in that way as well.
Lots of different ways to explore it. And Jim, of course, we got to talk about the climbing.
Yeah, 100%.
I know that that is something that, you know, is not something that you just roll up to Smith Rock with no experience or gear. Like, that's something that requires some preparation, some training. So tell us, Jim, like, how, if for folks who are interested in climbing Smith Rock, you know, say they don't have any experience, because if you do, then maybe you don't need this advice. But folks who for whom that sounds really appealing, how do you get started doing that?
Yeah, I mean, a couple different ways that folks can get involved. So the probably number one most recommended way would be to link up with a service that does guiding at Smith Rock. So you can link up with a provider that is there to facilitate a fun, safe, and informative introduction into outdoor climbing for you. And I will vouch for doing guided introductory type clinics or classes, things like that. When you're looking to learn a new skill, learning properly from your first go around is a great way to do it, right? Whether that's learning how to do tying knots for the backcountry and, you know, backcountry first aid, or I want to, you know, learn how to do technical rock climbing, whatever it may be, learning correctly from a professional from the get-go is a great way to turn. I try to do personally like one, maybe more, but at least one skill development class a year, whether that's in the rock climbing realm or mountain stuff or safety things, to make sure that I'm, you know, continuing to get education in that realm. But you can hire a guide and they will set you up with a rockin' safe and fun day. The other option I would say is going with people you trust who have the skills and can really watch out for you. And, you know, this doesn't mean, at least for me personally, finding somebody on the internet who seems like they know what they're doing and, you know, linking up with them for a day out. It means, hey, I have a friend who really knows what's up. I'm going to, you know, tag along with them and their crew, maybe watch from a distance for a little bit, you know, observe what they're doing and help them ease you into it. You know, there are ways to get hands-on experience with your pals, as long as you feel that your pals are educated and are going to help you have a safe and fun time.
I mean, it sounds like from what I've heard from you, Jim, that this time of year especially is just such a beautiful time to climb at Smith Rock, or even to not climb. It's a beautiful time to be there in the park itself. I mean, I've heard you talk, you know, off the air about some of the sights and sounds you've seen there. Give us a sense of what it looks like in the fall at this time at Smith Rock.
Yeah, I mean, I should pull up, and I can drop in the show notes a few photos from a time I spent there, or maybe it was back-to-back weekends or something like that. But around this time last year, October, November, I mean, you walk up to the park, right? You park early in the morning while it's still brisk. You're wearing your puffy jacket, maybe some gloves and a hat. You know, it's chilly, but kind of there's that sense of anticipation that you're going to go do something fun, whether that's hike or bike or go rock climb. You've got kind of the sun shining golden rays on this beautiful rock, you know, different colors, just incredibly scenic. You kind of hike down to the river, which is, you know, gurgling underneath the bridge as you pass. And as a rock climber, you essentially pick a direction. You know, you have an idea. There's a guidebook or guidebooks that have a bunch of different rock climbing routes in them. And you've probably got a couple picked out for the day. You're going to head over there, find your spot, and, you know, set off to do your rock climbing, which for me is a very fun and exciting thing to do, something I very much enjoy. And doing it this time of year is particularly fantastic, in large part because the weather is much more conducive to, you know, having a pleasant time out there than it is, say, in the middle of the summertime when it's, you know, pushing upper 80s, 90s, maybe even more. And you're just roasting there in the sun, Jamie. I mean, I know you felt the feeling of, man, can I just get some relief out here? Mm-hmm. And relief comes in waves this time of year with cooler temperatures, you know, and a very pleasant experience at Smith.
Wow. This is just, I think, a beautiful time to visit the high desert of Central Oregon. Whether you're out on a wall or you're just taking a walk, shorter days, of course, so you've got shorter time, you're going to be out there in the sun, but having that nice bright sunshine when it's a really sort of crisp and cool day, mm-hmm. I love that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah. You know, I was just been talking with my parents about potentially planning some sort of getaway over the Christmas holiday, and talking about perhaps some time spent in the desert somewhere. They are looking to go someplace a little bit warmer. And I'm saying, look, 55 and sunny, 50 and sunny in the desert in the wintertime feels glorious. Yes. Maybe, you know, a long sleeve shirt or a sweatshirt and jeans or sweatshirt and long pants. But man, unless there's a biting wind or something, that feels quite enjoyable.
Absolutely. You know, and of course, it gets a little bit cooler at night in the desert, which makes sense. And I think that leads us to one sort of final thing we should touch on when we talk about Smith Rock, and that is overnight camping.
Yeah.
So there's not like a campground like you're used to seeing at most other state parks. Smith Rock is kind of unique in this sense. There's a campground that's open May 27 or November 15, and it's how do I pronounce this word, Jim? Bivouac?
You got it. There you go.
Okay. All right.
We'll call it the Bivvy campground.
Okay. Okay, what can you tell us about the Bivvy and how this is a sort of a different camping experience than folks are used to at state parks?
Yeah, so basically you come in, you park in the parking lot, standard, you know, circular like lollipop loop style parking lot, find your spot, pay for your place to camp, basically. It's not dispersed camping, but it feels like that in the sense of you don't go back and get your campsite number, plant your flag on it, or, you know, put your piece of paper on the little post out front and say, this is my site. It's just a number of spots out in kind of this area in the park where you can set up a tent. You're supposed to be quiet, you know, during certain hours, or you should be quiet. I don't know what the rules are specifically, but during certain hours. And it's just, you know, a place that you can camp away from your vehicle. Basically, Jamie, it's a place to crash for rock climbers and other folks. It is not like roll up in my RV, you know, hook up to electric and, you know, roll out my awning, get my, indoor outdoor carpet set up and post up for the weekend. Decidedly the opposite of that.
Yeah. I've heard some rumblings in recent years about Oregon Parks and Recreation Department possibly making a more full campground at Smith Rock given the popularity, but for now you have this first come first served bivvy situation, like Jim described. So if you're looking to camp out at Smith Rock, that is what you're going to find. Well, we're going to talk about some other really cool things to do out in the area of Smith Rock out there in Central Oregon. But first, we're going to take a short break. Okay, we are back talking about Smith Rock State Park and some other spots to check out that are kind of around the same area as Smith there in the high desert of Central Oregon. So, Jim, I know you spend a lot of time at Smith Rock, but like, what are some of your other favorite spots to hit when you're in that area?
Mm-hmm. So, Jamie, in all seriousness, when I go down to Smith, I am like up early, going climbing for most of the day, going to bed, waking up, and doing it again. That is pretty much my scene, right? I'm not doing like the half day and then go do some other item nearby. All of that said, though, there is tons to do down in that mm-hmm. neck of the woods. I mean, you can bop over to Bend, you can bop over to Sisters. I'll pause for a moment on the Crooked River, which runs directly through Smith Rock State Park. It is that little bridge that I referenced going over the river itself. That river is the Crooked. It is a beautiful, scenic, very enjoyable place. If you just drive not terribly far from Smith Rock State Park, there's excellent access to the Crooked River, which is, as I've said, tremendously beautiful. It has a very desert-like feel to it. If you are into fly fishing, it is an excellent place to do that, though any angler would tell you, look ahead and read the regulations. I don't know what seasons are in and out this time of year, but it's an excellent place to go fly fishing. And Jamie, just a beautiful locale all in all. So I'll throw a recommendation out there for checking out the Crooked River. And I know you have one kind of sleeper pick, Jamie, that you are really hot on this time of year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you follow the Crooked River upriver, just not too far, a little bit farther to the north, it will intersect with two other rivers, Metolius and Deschutes Rivers. And right there, there's a sort of a reservoir that has been formed called Lake Billy Chinook. And the state park site there is the Cove Palisades State mm-hmm. Park, which is, in the summertime, it is a huge spot for boaters. So there's a marina there on the lake, and what you're used to getting out of that park in the summer is just a lot of sort of loud boat noises. There's a beautiful trail there that hikes up and looks over the park, which is just a phenomenal spot. But what I like to do is go to the park after the marina has closed for the season in the fall. And there's some really nice little cabins there right there on the lake that you can rent that are still open a little bit later in the season. Jim, I went out there in the fall a couple of years ago, and it was like, it must have been a weekday, a Wednesday or Thursday or something. I had the entire place to myself. No one else was staying at the cabins. It was just me and the quiet of the lake. And I sat up and made a fire just right there on the lakeshore and just watched like a half moon cross the sky over the lake in that kind of that clear desert air, and just heard these crazy strange sounds coming out of the desert. I have no idea what they were. just such a beautiful evening. And I love that. And we talked before about like, you know, zigging when other people zag, right? Mm-hmm. Looking for those opportunities when, you know, the main activity is no longer in season. That's when you go and you get the whole place to yourself. So highly, highly recommend the cabins there at the Cove Palisades. And, you know, if you're looking for a place to camp near Smith Rock, you don't want to do the bivvy thing. There are a couple different campgrounds there at the Cove Palisades. Not really sure about the seasons. I think one of them is closed for much of the year, but that is an option if you want to do more traditional camping and you want to be in that same area.
Jamie, am I remembering correctly? One of your spooky campfire stories involved camping at Cove Palisades, or am I wrong there?
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah, all the mule deer. Yeah, I believe, folks, if you want to hear all our spooky stories, can go back in our archives and listen. But yeah, I believe it was making dinner after dark. I think it was in the early spring at the Cove Palisades, and my, you know, just looking up after hearing sounds and seeing just like a dozen eyes illuminated all around me by my headlamp and just looking right back down. let's pretend those eyes are not there.
I didn't see you. Didn't see you there. not in the slightest. Oh, man. That is great. I was like, this sounds very familiar. We've talked about this before. We are only touching the tip of the iceberg of what's available to folks in Central Oregon. You know, you could go hit a hike somewhere, you know, out of Bend. You could go do the Deschutes River Trail. You could go hike up Black Butte closer to sisters. Basically, the imagination is your limit this time of year in Central Oregon, though, as Jamie has noted, limited by shorter days, you know, the sun setting earlier in the evening, and of course, needing to be aware of the potential for snow in higher elevation places, as of course, it is November, and that is such a thing at this point in time, which makes me happy. And what was my third thing? My third thing is, yeah, it's going to be cold for a good portion of the morning and getting chilly into the evening. Wear your puffy jacket, your fleece, your winter hat, or at least bring that stuff along to keep yourself cozy and happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jimmy talked about stopping off at a couple of cities. Sisters, of course, great spot. Stop at Snowcap Drive-In for a burger and a milkshake. Bend, I've done Bend in the fall before, and I've just had a fabulous time. I think it's a great place to anchor if you want a bed, if you want just a home base to explore some of this stuff around there. Just to toss out some recommendations around Bend, the High Desert Museum is a great spot. Check out some of the natural and cultural history of Oregon. Also, the soaking pool at the Old St. Francis School, which is McMiniman's property in Bend. I love the soaking pool. It's got like an open air top. It's, you know, just I think I went there again on the weekday in this time of year and had the whole pool to myself one night. Just a really cool spot to stop off at, and so much good food and drink in Bend. And Jim, I know that you and I are both big fans of Bonta,
yes.
Natural artisan gelato place. You know, I know the weather might be cool in the evenings, but my God, it's always a good day for a nice cup of gelato.
It is always ice cream, always gelato season, Jamie. You are speaking my language. It is never too chilly to indulge in a good cup of gelato. So, Jamie, I see no better way to end this episode. Things to do in Central Oregon, Smith Rock proper, but worth the foray into Bend, if only for the gelato, than on that note. So, folks, until next time here on the show, you can watch our videos on the Oregonians YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at Peak Northwest and view all of our travel and outdoors coverage on OregonLive.com/travel. Please leave us a rating or review if you enjoy the show. And if you want to support this podcast and our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details, of course, at OregonLive.com/pod support. This episode of the show was produced by me, Jim Ryan, alongside Jamie Hale and Andrew Thien.
Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.